Kyle, do you get similar kinds of stories from people all around that region that we've talked about, West Virginia, Kentucky, Virginia, abduction cases and things like that?
Yeah, I do. And, you know, I get cases with multiple witnesses, which I think are good. You know, it's not just one or two guys
right.
that are on the fishing. Well, one example here that I was just looking at while I was listening to you guys, it was some mountaintop coal miners. You were mentioning minerals, but there was like 40 of them working one night. I don't know if you're familiar with mountaintop removal, but they're up literally on top of a mountain doing contour mining. They strip mining is what they used to call it.
Basically, they bring the mountain down, right?
Yeah,
don't they?
Yeah, bringing it down from the top to get to the mineral, to the coal.
Yeah.
But I was talking to Lloyd Mills. He was the supervisor of the project. And there was 40 guys working on his shift. And this was only in 1987, one September of 87. And they saw this light come right up between the two mountains because they had miners on each side of the mountain, and it was like coming up the valley. And where they're higher up, of course, they were eye level with these. They looked like two lights, and then he said that they turned into several lights, and it did all kinds of things. It jumped around. It shined some lights down on some of the workers. I mean, again, you had multiple witnesses, but they were a lot more afraid to report it, or they didn't want to talk about it because people would make fun of them. In fact, it got out a little bit, and of course, several of them said, "Oh, it didn't happen," but it did happen. And then Lloyd, now after a few years, has went on record and talked about it in my book on what they saw. Another case was his cousin. That's how I got to find out about Lloyd's sighting. But he had a cousin. Her name is Thelma Jackson, and they were originally from here in southern West Virginia, but they'd moved to Michigan in the 60s, like a lot of people. They migrated up there to work in the automotive industry.
Sure.
Stan was just talking about the cars. Ford's not what it used to be. But
none of them.
Exactly.
None of them.
She was talking about, it's a real sad story. Her family sort of lives with a tragedy. Her son went outside to play in the snow. It was the big blizzard, the storm of the century in 1993, really early spring in March. And he was out in the backyard playing with his friend, the neighbor. And he came inside and was all excited, but he was scared. And he told his mom, he said, "Do you think I'm going to get radiation poisoning?" She said, "What are you talking about, Nathan?" And she said, "Well, this big light came over top of us, and it beamed a light down on top of us out there where we were playing in the snow." And less than a year later, the kid dies of a brain tumor.
Gee.
I know. You know, and they're always saying there's no evidence, but, you know, going back to the Braxton County sighting back in 52, all those boys and Kathleen May that went up to see, up on the mountain to see where that UFO landed, they were all sick. They had nausea. They were throwing up.
Yep.
You know, the next day, physical evidence. There's also evidence on the ground. It was shooting out a mist. There were some fragments of those. You know, many times there's cases where something lands, at least like a crop circle. Nothing grows back.
Reminds me of the Cash Landrum case in Texas.
Exactly.
Doesn't it?
Which I think Stan has some of the dirt from that, if I'm not mistaken.
Well, I've had samples of dirt, not from Cash Landrum.
Okay, but I knew you had some, yeah.
Delpos, Kansas. Ted Phillips is the guy, and over the last 40 years, Ted has collected roughly 3,900, 4,000 physical trace cases from 90 countries. And, you know, after you read a few hundred, it's the same thing going on all over the world. People see an object on or near the ground, it leaves, one finds physical changes. I had lab tests done from Delphos, Kansas, small town. I should check and see what its current population is. It was 499 back then in the 70s. But you get cases like that. You can't throw them out. I mean, the lab tests tell you something strange happened. And we checked the soil that wouldn't grow anything for a few years at a much higher level of soluble minerals. It was too salty to grow anything, to look at it in a pragmatic kind of way. And there was no way that farmer could influence the soil down 14 inches in the ring so that it it wouldn't absorb moisture, it wouldn't grow anything. I mean, none of us have, you know, that big a microwave around to cook the ground with.
Right.
And, yeah, it's an exciting time. Yeah, that Nathan story got to me, incidentally. And you wonder what all went on and how many other cases there have been like that. Probably inadvertent. I mean, nobody's saying
exactly.
The saucer came over and was trying to zap this poor kid.
Yeah, exactly. It wasn't.
It just happened. No, it was like Cash Landrum. I don't think, you know, they had radiation poisoning, didn't they?
Yes,
Steve?
They did.
And
it wasn't there. It's like, you know, I remember one of my first discussions about with J. Allen Hynek was he had made a remark somewhere that why would aliens come here just to stop cars? Because there were many reports of cars being stopped and then starting again. You've got some in your books. My comment is nobody's saying they came here for that purpose. When people were driving automobiles back around the turn of the 19th to the 20th century, they scared the heck out of a lot of horses. But they weren't driving the car for the purpose of, let's see how many
horses
we can scare. You know, we're trying to move us from point A to point B. So inadvertent things happening. What are you going to say? In the wrong place at the wrong time, wrong person? That's the way life is.
Kyle, how are you perceived out there?
I think I'm sort of like, I compare myself to the Richard Dreyfuss character in Close Encounters of the Third Kind. I'm one of these common guys.
You make models with mashed potatoes?
Yeah, exactly. No, but I need to know that this is true. I feel that it's true. I want to know. I want to be close enough to see a large spaceship land and see aliens. It's just like it's something that's driving me. But I'm sure there's people that talk behind my back. That probably there's a few out there that are naysayers or that make fun. But most people that talk to me are really happy that I'm doing this kind of work, and they're real supportive.
Do you ever have anybody, while you were interviewing them, Kyle, break down emotionally?
Maybe tears in their eyes, you know.
Yeah.
Especially the Jackson lady with her son, you know. Of course, that was, again, just a real sad story.
How about you, Stan?
Well, yeah, Alan Hynek used to talk about his book as the UFO experience, because even if you're talking to somebody 20 years after an event took place, it is still so real to them.
Yeah.
You can just see the emotional content as they relive what was an incredible experience.